Well, let's continue adoring our great God. Please open your Bibles to John 17. John 17, I'll read the whole prayer of our Lord Jesus, but only be covering verses 20 to the end. John 17, beginning at verse 1. Jesus spoke these things, what we covered from 14 through 17. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one, Satan. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved me, even as you have loved me. Love them, even as you have loved me. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have made known your name, and I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let's pray again. Indeed, our great God, we adore you, we worship you. Thank you, Father, for a wonderful camp beyond expectation. And we thank you for your great grace in giving us the scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for the Gospel of John. Thank you for these chapters 14 through 17. And Lord, we have been edified. We have been convicted. We have been uplifted. And may you, our God, now do a great work in us. We confess we're tired in our bodies. But Lord, help us in our minds and our spirits to lay hold of your truth. Indeed, your word is truth, and even sanctify us tonight. Thank you for the body. Thank you for Pilgrim Bible Church, that we are one in Christ. Father, be pleased to be near now, and Lord, even be with those that are traveling home. Grant them safety, encouragement, and a sweet time and much grace. Thank you that you hear our cries, and we are amazed that you not only hear prayer, but answer it, all because of Christ. Amen. Well, we come almost to the end of camp and the end of the farewell discourse, the upper room discourse. And chapter 17 is an amazing chapter in the Bible. And often as the preacher, we get to spend time studying the text. And I, for one, have been profoundly humbled at the depth of John 17. It is the longest recorded prayer that we have of our Lord Jesus. And did you know that Jesus Christ prayed for Pilgrim Bible Camp 2019? It's right there in the scripture. He prayed for this camp. Consider that as we move forward in our passage. Indeed, deep waters, and I'll seek to make a few observations and keep it as brief as I can, hopefully opening the text faithfully. Well, just think of the chapter in this way. We're only going to look at verses 20 through 26, but the chapter is divided in three ways. In verses 1 through 5, Jesus prays for his glory and the Father's glory. Often in the Gospels, we see Jesus thinking about, consumed with the glory of his Father. And then in verses 6 through 19, he transitions from praying for his glory to praying for his disciples, the 11 apostles. But then in verse 20 to the end, he prays for all believers, even our unification. These beautiful chapters we looked at, these snapshots from the earlier chapters, and then this prayer of Jesus praying for us, our unification. And praise the Lord that we could wish our dear sister a blessing on her birthday. And that was an example of what Jesus prayed for, unification. We love the saints. We could note that Jesus not only exhorted us to pray, he taught us how to pray. Jesus gives us an example and teaches us much in this chapter, but he also teaches us, and he exemplified in his life and here, what is prayer. And then go to Gethsemane and go to the cross when he cries out, Father. Jesus, our Lord, God of very God, was a man of prayer. And John 17 is profound. In verse 1, it just began some context. He lifted up his eyes to heaven And that's often a posture we can bow our heads, but sometimes, like Jesus, we can just look up, Lord, Father. And he begins to pray. And six times in John 17, he says, Father, Father, Holy Father, 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 O righteous Father. The intimacy of the Godhead. Again, teaching us how to pray to our Father in heaven. As a matter of fact, we learn more about God the Father in John's Gospel than anywhere else, especially in this upper room discourse. It's extremely Trinitarian. I'm sure you've noticed that as we talked about the Spirit of Truth. Jesus is the truth. We spoke of the Father. Jesus prayed even in verse 11 for this unity, our focus tonight. And by the way, our title is Our Glorious Union. Our Glorious Union. Jesus prayed for it, that they may be one, even as we are one. For the military folks here, it's the unit. It's the body. It's the one thing, acting as one, moving in unison. Different from the world, of course. That's us, the body. And Jesus prays that we would be one as God is one. So coming to verse 20, first verse of our text. Again, Jesus said, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, the 11, but for those also who believe, present tense, in me through their word. All the people that would hear the gospel from the apostles. And then we would get the canon of Scripture, not only the Old Testament, but the New. And we have heard this truth. Jesus prayed for you and me, brothers and sisters. Of course, we know from Scripture that Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. But even while he was on earth, he prayed ahead for the church, his bride, who would believe. And did you know that in John, the word believe is used 98 times, belief or believe. One-third of all biblical references to belief are in John's gospel. He is all about focusing on believing in God. And if you're a believer in Christ, he is praying for you. So the first lesson is this, and I confess there's 10 of them. Stand amazed, Jesus prayed for us. Stand amazed that Jesus prayed for us. We tell each other, brother, sister, I'm praying for you. We're moved. We appreciate it. Our Lord Jesus looked to the Father and he prayed for us 2,000 years ago. That should have an effect upon us. Amazement. He prayed for the church in the future as if it already existed, because in his plan it did. We'll come to that in a bit. This word, they would hear through the word. There was a big emphasis in this section in John 17. They have kept your word. That was verse 6. Verse 8, the words which you gave me, I've given them. And then verse 12, that the Old Testament word would be fulfilled. And then 14, I have given them your word. 17, in the truth, your word is truth. A lot about the word. And that's why we're Pilgrim Bible Church. We need the Bible. We need the word. Not only to be saved, but to grow in sanctification. Verse 21. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus prayed that all believers would be united. And I think remaining sin, ever since that prayer, has had its focus to make us ununited. The devil would ununite Christians. And we can draw a line between professing Christians, fakes and frauds, and those that believe that we heard about that have the fruit of the Spirit. But he prayed that those who have this saving faith would be united as one body. We need to pursue this type of unity. Our Lord prayed for it, not only at Pilgrim Bible Church, but all the saints. And I know it's true, when you meet another Christian at work or at the store in your family, it's a delight. We have the bond that is beyond all other bonds. We have the bond that will never be broken. In heaven, we won't have our spouses, we won't have our children. We'll have the saints because of Christ. That we may be one. We looked at in Ephesians 4:3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. Paul opens up this theme and others in the New Testament, this unity. We have to pursue it. Think about that as we move along. But this unity that Jesus prayed for has the highest mold or model. And it's in those two words beginning, even as. Even as you, Father, are in me. Jesus prayed that our unity would look like the unity between the Father and the Son. That is a perfect unity with no breach, no break, no separation. So lesson two, our standard for oneness is the eternal relationship between the Father and the Son. God's standard, Jesus prayed that our oneness would look like the relationship the Father has with the Son. It's amazing. When Jesus was baptized, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father spoke, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Think of those pictures, those words in Scripture where we see the Father and the Son so united in purpose. That's what Jesus prayed that we would have. Do we fight to preserve our oneness? Or do we fight to pulverize our oneness? We should be fighting to preserve our oneness, not to pulverize it. We fight for many things. Americans like to fight. We have an attitude. Are we diligent? Are we willing to fight for this oneness that Jesus prayed for among the saints? This is no small item. This is not optional. Jesus prayed for it, therefore we must pursue it more than our opinions, our own ideas. We must pursue and pray for ourselves unity among the saints as the Father has with the Son, that they may also be in us, he adds, that they also may be in us. Jesus links our unity as saints with our unity with the Father and Son. Paul often has the phrase in Christ 150 times, maybe more, in Christ all through the epistles. But here, and if you underline in your Bible, in us. In us. In 14:23, he said, "We will come to him, to the believer, and make our abode with him." And of course, the Spirit as well would come and be with us forever. If we have believed, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit abiding in us. That should make us a people of worship, should it not? God is abiding with us. He is in us, and we are in him. We sang this morning, "Be thou my vision." One of the lines says, "Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one." There's a lot of truth in those few words. as well as in us. Further, and I made quite a few edits. I didn't have my laptop here. I failed to mention, kids, adults, the word that. Did you see how many that, 9 times. 9 times we find that word, and this one is very significant. They're all significant. But note the word, so that the world may believe, continually believe, that you sent me. Jesus prayed for the unity of the saints with several specifics, and then he says he prayed for that so that the world may believe that you sent me. In verses 8 and 25, he already said of those that believed that you sent me, these words are repeated, you sent me 3 times. Lesson 3, our oneness with God and each other should be so evident that the world believes the gospel. Now that's an evangelistic technique. You can go, as we desire to do, and preach the gospel, but if you're not one with the saints, you're destroying the message. Jesus prayed that for our unity so that the world would believe that you sent me. Our unity should be a clear message that Jesus saves sinners, and look at all these people, that they're unified in Christ. I'd love to hear someone's testimony one day that said, I was saved because I saw the unity of God's people and I knew that Jesus must be real. That's a biblical truth that Jesus prayed for. It's obvious when a young man and a young woman are in love. You can't get them apart. Their eyes are just spinning in their head. They're smiling all the time. Is it that obvious that we love the brethren? It should be. Jesus prayed for it. It's a silly illustration, I know. On purpose. Keep you awake. When the world observes our oneness, it reveals something profound. That the Father sent the Son to save sinners. That's what Jesus prayed for. So if you profess to be a Christian and you're not united with the people of God in any way, the Bible does not allow that. Jesus' prayer does not allow that. The world takes notice. These people are aliens. They're bizarre. All they have in common is that they keep preaching Christ. Again, what about Pilgrim Bible Church? What about you and me? Is it evident in our lives, based on the prayer of our Lord Jesus, do we have a oneness with our brothers and sisters? Or is it take it or leave it? Are you one with your brothers and sisters? You are, whether you admit it or not. But are you pursuing it? Are you praying for it yourself? And we have on Wednesday nights, Lord, unite us. And look at this camp. He's united us by His grace. Again, Jesus prayed for PBC Camp 2019. And maybe even those people said, those people are strange. I hope we had a witness. Now, they didn't take Jasmine's track, but it was offered. Hopefully they saw something. May God save them. Again, have a self-check. Listen to Lenski. What stirs the world is not our faith in this context, but our faith arrayed as a unit. It's not just my faith that someone says, wow, or wow, that brother, that man has faith. No, it's that brother and that sister and that brother and that sister. Man, those people are one. There must be a gospel. Jesus must have came. This oneness. Maybe you kids saw a dragonfly out on the water today. Did anyone see dragonflies? I saw 2 dragonflies flying connected. And they landed on a little twig in the water, and one put its, whatever you call that, tail, and connected to the bottom, and one connected to the top. It was like acrobatics. And I told Tom, and we said, that's a good example to have this oneness, to be one unit, connected. Even as those dragonflies were acting as one, or a swim team, synchronized swimming. Think of that. A military unit marching. If somebody's out of step, it's quite obvious. Do we look like a church of synchronized swimmers, or just floundering around doing the doggy paddle? Praise God. We do see unity. Maybe it's not perfected, but by His grace and for His glory, we are one. Jesus prayed for that. An ununified church or ununified Christians hurt our gospel witness and evangelism. If we handed out tracts on the 4th of July and then someone heard Pilgrim Bible Church, all they can do is argue and bicker, and well, they collapsed. That hurts the gospel. The gospel is at stake with our unity. I don't think we think about this. I don't. Do you? Verse 22. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Lesson 4. I'll speed it up. Our oneness points to the glory of Christ in us. Our oneness points to the glory of Christ in us. We have a glorified head, a glorified and glorious relationship, a glorious mediator, the mediator of the new covenant. Meditate on our Lord Jesus and His glory. And glory means what? Weight, heaviness, exaltation. Not only at your baptism, those that were baptized, you say, it's Christ. All through our lives, we want Christ to be exalted. And our oneness should give glory to Christ. If someone says, wow, you guys really get along, glory to Christ. Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free man, there's neither male nor female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. He's the reason we're one. It's His glory, thus a glorious union. Verse 23. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, or literally into one. Again, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Christ is in us. The Father is in Christ. And He speaks of they. Again, it's us. There's a Christian group. Maybe you've heard of them. I am they. They take their name from this verse. That's us. We are they. That they may be perfected in unity. Lesson 5. Being in Christ puts us in unity. And Christ prayed for its perfection. A perfect Savior puts us in perfect unity, and He prayed for that perfection, that maturity as the Father and the Son have together, consistent, stable, persevering. The word I was focusing on is in Christ and in unity. And may it excel still the more in perfection. So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, the believers, even as you have loved me. Lesson 6. Our unity is an unending sermon about God's loving plan about salvation. Our unity is an unending sermon about God's loving plan of salvation. This isn't the only part of evangelism, of course. It's a necessary and requisite piece to our speaking the gospel, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Again, does the world see our unity and thus His loving plan? Or do they see slanders and division in the body? Let's beware if we're tempted to gossip, slander, think ill of a brother or sister. Let's remember Jesus prayed that we would be one, that the world would know that the Father sent the Son. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, or given me myself, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Given me, we've heard those words elsewhere in Scripture. Even verse 2, all whom you have given me, or John 6, all that the Father gives me, that of all he has given me, I lose nothing. This is election. And for the Greek students, we've heard, ego, a me, I am. Here it's flipped in reverse, a me, ego. And fascinating, and we can look into it more, but it's at least emphatic. So I said, you have given me myself. The Father desires this. So lesson 7. What amazing love that Christ desires to be with us forever and to show us His glory. Amazing love. How can it be that Christ desires to be with us, to go to that heavenly home, a prepared place for a prepared people, so that they may see my glory? The word here, to see, it's like to gaze upon as a spectator, used for an extraordinary things like the stars. The kids were looking at the phone app. There's Saturn, there's Jupiter, and you're straining your eyes to look. And that's what we will do when we see the glory of our Lord staring at it, staring at Him. A continuous beholding. This glory that the Son had with the Father before the foundation of the world, and even more when He accomplished His work on Calvary. 25. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. I believe he uses the word righteous in contrast to this wicked world. O righteous Father, the world hasn't known, yet I have known. You're righteous and they are wicked. And the word known, it's repeated 5 times in this and the next verse. 2 groups. Known and not known. There's only 2 types of people in the world. Those who know God and those who do not. But we have come to know the Father because we know the Son. Lesson 8. Thinking about this knowing. Known. 5 times. Press on in knowing God the Father and God the Son intimately. This is communion with God. One of the greatest truths and topics and activities that you can engage upon. Commune with your God through prayer, through His Word, through meditation. We have known Him and we will continue to know Him because Christ is proclaiming to us continually the Father's glory, and even the Son's glory is in our view. Christ is our prophet. Verse 26, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Christ told us the Father's name over and over, and He explained who the Father is. John 1:18. You know, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has exegeted the Father to us, explained the Father to us, our one mediator. Yet He will make it known. He's told us about the Father, but He will continue to tell us through our lives by the Holy Spirit who proclaims Christ to us, and even in eternity. But for the present, lesson 9, miracle of miracles, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts, quoting Romans 5:5. Knowing the love of Christ, again, is revealed in body life. So keep meditating on God's love to you, poured out upon you. Read 1 John, Romans 5, Psalm 136, the loving kindness of the Lord is everlasting. And back to our passage, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. And the final lesson. Thank you for agreeing. Lesson 10. I know it's been a long weekend. Loving the brethren must be powered by Christ in us. Loving the brethren must be powered by Christ in us. Did you catch the phrase when Jesus said, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them? That's where we get our power. Of course, He is the source and the enabler of this type of love. We have to be plugged in. We needed to pump things up, so we plugged in the electrical socket. Although we had to share it, but we have the same Christ, and we plug in, as it were, to get power from Christ to know the love of God and love the brethren. Lay hold of God's love and let His love constrain, control, and comfort you as you seek to deal with the saints. Well, in conclusion, I found a quote by a Puritan summarizing a lot of John 17, and we'll conclude with this and pray. This is George Newton. Oh, let us search into the heart of Jesus Christ, laid open to us in this abridgment of His intercession for us, that we may know it and the workings of it more and more, until at length the precious prayer comes to its full effect, and we be taken up to be forever with the Lord, and where He is, there we may be also. Beginning on earth, being completed in heaven with Christ forever. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your goodness to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are amazed that You prayed for us. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for praying even for the camp, for every day of our lives as Christians, for Pilgrim Bible Church, for all of the bride around the world, the church militant, and the church in heaven victorious. Lord, thank You, Lord Jesus, for praying for us. And may we indeed have this oneness that You prayed about, so that people would believe the gospel, that You would get the glory. Thank You for uniting us in Your love, and may our unity, please, even be a means to save some, that people would know Your loving plan for sinners, this amazing love that we have from You. And indeed, may we know You better, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our great God, our loving, merciful God. Thank You for Your goodness, and may You help us to imbibe these truths, and may we be that glorious unit. May we have that oneness that is only from Your hand. Be pleased to do it for Your glory. We thank You all because of Christ. Amen.